There we go. And we're live.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Welcome back. It's another episode of Masters of the Galaxy podcast, the only podcast for He-Man, She-Ra, Thundercats, and everything in between. So I'm here with my man, Andrew K.
How's it going?
What's going on, Mr. K?
Not much. Living the life, I guess, right?
Living the life. And we got Dirt in the booth.
Nice. And so. Brian has disappeared yet again.
Yet another podcast. however, we did hear from Brian this time, so we know that he's not incarcerated or anything like that. So we wish him well. He had a little doctor's visit, so.
Yeah, I heard it was underground wrestling, but who knows? I mean, you know, doctor's visit, luchadors, it's all gay.
It's the same.
It's the same.
So what are we talking about this week? What's new? Are there any new things that are happening?
Yes, there's always new things. Of course, Loyal Subjects have a whole new He-Man wave or Motu wave that came out at Toys R Us. It includes repaints of figures we've already got. Color schemes that are very similar or not really to whatever we've already got, but one of the new chases is Disco Skeletor.
Sweet.
That's about the only other chase besides the new Evil Lyn that I like. They have a mini comic He-Man that looks just a slight different variation of the same colors of the He-Man that's actually in the non-chase box. So
what's different on that as far as it's just the coloration of...
Like, it's a lighter yellow and a lighter tan. That's the only coloration difference.
Does he have the gold bracers? So like the
I think he does. Yeah, he's got the gold bracers from the mini comic. It's actually a little redundant, like super redundant. Like
and it just says toy color variant is all that saying.
I think it's supposed to be the Toys R Us He-Man mini comic figure, but that's the thing. Like in the same package, like on the box, it has another version of the exact same coloration, pink, you know, the pink on his belt or whatever. It's the same thing. It's just that they slightly toned the color brighter on the hair and on the skin. So it doesn't make a lot of sense. Like I'm getting more and more irritated and disappointed.
Yeah, the boots look a lot more pinkish. I don't know. Maybe it's just a shot I'm looking at. The Manny faces, I like the repaint. It's kind of, it's different. I don't know where they're drawing that from. Is there anything to support that particular color?
You're talking about the Manny faces you're talking about, right?
Yeah, because I know they, you know, Disco, there is actually a, you know, 2000X Disco variant.
Correct. So the Manny faces has more orange on it, and I don't understand it. I don't think that they're basing on anything other than they like, hey, let's add orange onto it. I personally wasn't liking it. I actually got that one, and I was like, thank you, guys.
Yeah, I don't know on that. It's an odd, looks like that his black on him. Am I looking at the same one?
I'm trying to pull it up actually right now because I couldn't find it.
Well, I found a picture. I guess this is on, I'm on Loyal Subjects, Motu Toys R Us exclusives.
Are you under like a page or are you under a website?
This is on the loyalsubjects.com. And so it's on their blog and it says Motu Toys R Us exclusives. And it does have Disco right there. But see, I was trying to see what else, how they presented them.
Here it is. Let's see if I can find it.
I have the power He-Man.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's
he has red. I don't know. I don't know about that. It's kind of odd.
Yeah. So that He-Man in the back, you can see that they put red on the swords. Can you see that?
Yeah, and on the axe tips also.
Yeah, and that one, that's the rare variation, and then so is this Manny Faces. I didn't get this Chase Manny Faces. Okay. I got a regular Manny Faces it looks almost identical to the original release, but it has orange instead of where it used to be purple.
I got you. Okay.
But there's already orange on him, so there's like a double dose of orange.
That's really odd.
So it's blue and orange.
This is a strange repaint also. I don't know.
Yellow, yeah.
supports that.
There's not. They're just going off in left field and trying
Man,
to.
They're just making stuff up.
and the Skeletor, the Disco Skeletor, the blue hands and feet just really seem to take you away from the figure. Like, I'd almost rather them have made them black like the rest of his tights.
I don't think Disco was colored like that.
He wasn't. No, not really.
I don't think he had blue feet.
He didn't. He didn't have blue anything. I mean, Dirt's our our Disco Skeletor collector. He would know best. But
okay, so interestingly enough, and I guess maybe you could support it with this.
Yeah.
But there is in the compendium. This is our
Let's go to which is this page? What?
Woo! Is this We're He-Man? On page 141 for Manny Faces.
141. Okay.
It does show him orange in the 1983 Golden Motu book, so it's a stretch. But maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't see anything with the black. That's. I don't know. Oh well, maybe. Back page MYP. But that doesn't really match it up either. So,
no.
Yeah, I don't know. They're just kind of left field painting, and this He-Man one is definitely odd because the red just seems out of place. I don't know.
It does.
And the boots too. I mean, it's overkill. So.
Yeah.
I don't know about this wave. So you got a hold of some of these.
I got hold of two of these this morning, and I got the regular Manny Faces. That's not this yellow one, but it's an orange one. And I wasn't keen on it, but I'm going to keep it. I mean, it's part of my collection, I guess, at this point in time.
All right. So let me ask. I pulled up the Loyal Subjects webpage so I could look at the
image too.
The Disco. Yeah. And that's how he looked more or less. His hands and feet were like the normal Skeletor skin color.
Were they really?
Yeah.
Let's see.
It's just that his chest was like a metallic purple. You know, it was shiny like armor, but then the rest of him was gold, black with orange accents.
Okay, I'm trying to pull some pictures behind. Oh yeah, you're right. I'm looking at pictures of Disco Skeletor right now.
Yeah, when they did the pop, I remember the pop version of him like had gold instead of the blue. Like they didn't use any blue at all, probably because that would just be another color of paint they would have to mix in.
Correct. It has purple. The Disco Skeletor had purple for the pop. I can see it right here because there's a picture of it.
Okay. Can you guys see my display and see? So he's in the bubble, but I can't really see the feet. Can you see it?
No, you can't see the feet and the hands either. So you wouldn't know it unless you opened it, I guess.
Yeah, I can see it from the side. So yeah, they are blue and the hands are blue. So wild man. He does have a green chin though. They missed it. Come on. They were so close. So close.
We're nitpicking figures that you like or you don't like. I do like them. I'm just tired of getting the same figures.
I mean, I think the Disco figure looks pretty sweet. You know, it's different, but I think at least that there's a reason for making that because, you know, that was already there. But the He-Man one, I just don't understand.
And the He-Man is the Club 88. I think it's the Manny Faces is the Club 88, I think. Yeah, Manny Faces is Club 88. There's a gold He-Man somewhere from Toys R Us.
Again, now there are three of them.
I think it's four. That's Target, Walmart, Toys R Us, and Hot Topic.
Yeah.
Four gold He-Mans. Too bad Brian's not pulling in gold He-Man money.
How rare is Disco Skeletor?
He's not that rare. I think he's 1 in 96 or 1 in 48.
That's still pretty rare. That's like
I don't know. This page doesn't give us any information. If I had I have a box. You know what? Let me put you on hold. I'm going to step away from my mind.
The point I'm getting at though is that if it's going to be more than like I don't know $10-$15, I'll just buy a loose Skeletor and have someone paint it. You know what I mean?
Like, I'm going to step away from
it. I know a guy.
Because, like, the thing is, I'm not trying to, like, make a collection, you know, necessarily of all the releases, but, like, I'll buy, like, a Flying Fist Skeletor at a garage sale that's, you know, missing the armor, and I'll have someone paint it disco and just throw it on the shelf. You know what I mean?
Okay, I am back. I'm back with the box. Okay, so your Skeletor is 1 in 96, so he is the hardest besides Gold He-Man and vintage prototype Club 28 Manny faces.
So okay, no one's going to sell them on the cheap, is what you're telling me, though.
Yeah, it's going to be like $75, $95 bucks or something.
Yeah, I'll just have someone paint a regular Skeletor.
Yeah, probably so.
But so they do give a reason for making the Manny faces. So that, I mean, you know.
So they call them a mask or vintage prototype.
Sweet.
And he is yellow as sin. He looks like Evil Lyn, like, gave birth to him. And then the He-Man, it's the Mini Comics Vintage Edition. No, Mini Comics Variant Edition. And it says 1 in 48. And that's the one with the red axe.
Okay.
And then if you don't like that one, if you just buy one, like one out of every, two out of every, no, one out of every eight boxes will contain a regular He-Man that looks almost identical. Except his hair is slightly darker and his skin is slightly darker. And his weapons may not have any red on them.
Just makes no sense.
And then there's a regular Manny Faces, and this Manny Faces doesn't have a description on him, but he has this weird orange on him. I got him right here. He has on his sides, it's got this weird orange. All I can say is it's got way too much orange on him. Like, these parts that used to be purple are now orange.
Yeah.
Like, it's ridiculous. But I got Evil Lyn, and Evil Lyn was one out of every 24, and she is human-skinned. She's white.
So white they went Evil Lyn. With the Battleground Evil Lyn.
Yeah, Battleground Evil Lyn. But they didn't call her that. They just call her Evil Lyn.
Sweet. But so now the Manny Faces, do he still have the orange gun, even though he's orange?
I didn't even pull up the accessories. Yeah, cool still orange gun. So perfect. He's literally got an orange gun still, and he's still orange. Yeah. He's got so much orange. It's really annoying.
Overkill.
And you know what? Anything below his thighs has no paint whatsoever except for the blue that they cast him in. So there's no paint apps below the thighs.
Oh, that's really weird.
I mean, I'm sure that's probably because they didn't want to paint him, but it's like they didn't spend any money below the thighs.
Huh. So there you go, guys. There's the new wave of loyal subjects by Mr. K. What else? What else is new this week? Anything else?
No. I mean, Mattel had their Comic-Con pre-sale this morning for their first wave of stuff, and it was deceptively disappointing. They had three things. It was a Mega Bloks Destiny set. There was the DC Superhero Girls 2-pack, and then I think there was Hot Wheels, cars.
Strange. So nothing Motu related.
Nothing Motu.
Well, now, on the topic of Mattel, I saw earlier, did you see the post where they're talking about the vault is opening again? You know, how many more times we can open the vault? I don't know if they're just lying about how much stuff they have because we had the back orders that, you know, got filled and people are actually getting their back orders. So, yeah. I don't know, but I saw a teaser that was posted in the group earlier today, I think, that was outlining that they've got another big Mattel sale coming, and it's they're going to open the vault, and the character that they chose to use up front and center is Filmation He-Man. So, be interested to see if he's in that.
Freaking hell. They're doing everything again. They're probably just going to send this. I wonder if they just ordered more copies of the figures. I mean,
yeah, I mean, well, it kind of would stand to reason that if they still have the molds,
yeah,
and they have the orders coming in.
Yeah, why not make them?
Yeah, because these molds, these are not old molds. These are things that, you know, it's not like Skeletor's Havoc Staff and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
You're doing the Filmation piece, which we just got recently. So, yeah, interesting, man. It's going to be back. It just says coming soon. So I guess we'll see when it goes live at like 4 a.m. and pisses everybody off because everything's gone in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
$12 Wind Raiders and such.
Yeah.
So what else we got? We were going to talk about, we want to talk about tonight, today, the last episode of Filmation. So I want to do Filmation today.
Okay.
And it is The Problem with Power.
It's a good episode.
Yes, we were talking about it before the show. One of your favorites, absolutely one of my favorites.
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about some things. I guess we don't have to worry about spoilers since it's Filmation and it's been out there. But so lead us into it. Let's get your take on Problem with Power and what you took away from it and all that good stuff.
I don't know what to say. Putting me on the spot, man. What's up? I know that it has... Oh God, let's see. There's the general, of course, in Goblins.
We got introduced to a new character right at the beginning. Yeah. And we talked about going over in the compendium and finding that too. So
yes,
what was his
General Tartaran.
General Tartaran. So he is a goblin. Obviously, in the way that this story's told, and it's key to the story, is he has no heartbeat. So these cold, heartless goblin Skeletor knows that they have no heartbeat. And, of course, that's key to what's going on.
Yeah. Being a goblin possessed no physical heart at all, and a trait was successfully employed by Skeletor to fool He-Man into thinking that he'd unwillingly killed an innocent man who was, in fact, Tartaran in a magical disguise.
Yeah, so the gist of the episode and what's going on is Skeletor's pulling some trash on He-Man, exploiting the fact that He-Man has a good heart, and the fact that if something crazy were to happen and he were to actually hurt somebody, he would hold himself accountable. And so he goes into this scheme with Tartaran. So, first off, I hadn't seen this in ages. So it'd been a minute since I seen this episode.
Yeah.
And it being the last, I guess that's kind of, you know, super epic, because at the time, did they know, were they planning that everything was ending right there?
Was the show planning? I don't know. That's a good question, since it's the last episode.
Well, I just thought it was interesting because at the end of it, we get kind of a different ending than what you would normally get. You get He-Man and he's sort of walking off into the sunset with Teela.
With Teela, yeah.
And they're kicking some jokes around, and Teela's got jokes wanting He-Man to put her down, but not really. You know, but I thought it was interesting. Have you ever seen, and I know you probably have, but it is a fan short film done by Daniel Benedict, The Fall of Grayskull.
I have. I have it on VHS, actually. He sent it to me not that long ago.
Sweet. Okay. So when I found out about Benedict doing that, I was super pumped up. Definitely wanted to catch it. I love the story to it. I think the story's great. But one thing that I noticed when I rewatched this Filmation episode was that there is an homage to that Filmation episode in Fall of Grayskull. So at the very end, when He-Man is walking away with Teela, they're having the exact same conversation. And I thought that was really cool. So that, I mean, obviously had to have been intentional because it's the same lines, but, just a cool throwback to the last episode of Filmation.
Makes sense.
Did you get the comic with that too? With that Fall of Grayskull?
Yeah, I've got it somewhere. I've got it in the other room, I think. Yeah.
For a fan film and something that was done on, and you know, some people, I've heard some different opinions on it, and everybody's welcome to have their own opinion, but to be done on the budget that it was done on, you know, and given what he gave, it was really good, man, especially the mini comic, you know, that came along with it kind of supported the story.
Yeah.
So
I had lunch, or no, it was dinner this is not last year, this is like the year before, and we were all having dinner at Comic-Con, a couple of us, and, you know, Daniel was invited, and Daniel was there, and he actually gave out the comic then, actually.
Oh, sweet.
That was my first experience with the comic. And then, you know, he showed a teaser the next night at the Power Party, actually. at San Diego. And then we finally saw, I finally saw it online on YouTube, and then we also watched it at PowerCon last year.
Yeah, so for anybody who hasn't seen that or doesn't know that that's out there, Fall Grayskull, it's out on YouTube. You can watch it. So very cool fan film. You know, check it out if you haven't seen it. I think there are some copies of the comic floating around there somewhere.
There are. It's pretty cool, I must say. It's nothing, you know, spectacular, but he is a real honest director of features or of a commercial director of some kind. And he did this with little or no money. And yeah. It's still very much fun.
Yeah,
Shadow Weaver especially.
Oh, I love, that's my favorite part of the whole thing. I mean, Weaver makes the thing. And I don't know, I think Tila, is she his girlfriend, or I don't know. I thought I picked that up somewhere, but maybe in the, they've got a blooper thing on the end of it, which they is kind of cool. So, or maybe I read it, but anyway, she does a good part. The sorceress, you know, so you got to respect the budget that it's done on. And so when I watched this episode of Filmation, when it got to the end of it, I was like, man, that is really cool. If, you know, obviously he did that intentionally, and that's an awesome nod to this episode.
Very nice. I had noticed it, but I haven't seen A Problem with Power in some years.
Yeah, it was definitely something that when I kicked it on and started going back through it, I was like, wow, man, I can't believe that it's been this long since I've seen this episode. So yeah. Definitely 10 or so years for me since the last time I've watched it. But still, very powerful episode. Still, there are some things that stuck out to me that I thought was interesting, and I'm going to quiz you. So it has to do with He-Man, and something different happens. So
at the end you're talking about, or?
Well, you already pegged me, so it's at the end.
Okay.
What is it?
Don't get me wrong. I might be wrong on this one. There's no moral at the end of the story, is there? Man-at-Arms delivers.
There is. Man-at-Arms throws one at the end.
Okay.
But you were on it with He-Man. So He-Man does something different here that I don't think, and I may be wrong, it may have happened in another episode, but I don't think it has. You're on it. I know you got this.
Does he, like, try to get away?
Well, yeah, but so he's so upset with himself, and he's so disheartened and brokenhearted that Skeletor's trick was to have He-Man crush someone, and then
the general,
he stepped,
right?
Yeah. So General Tataran is in a disguise of Skeletor's magic, and Skeletor's in a disguise as well. Tataran falls under the crumbling trap that Skeletor set up. And He-Man's brokenhearted. So he tells Orko that there's something that he has to do. There's one more thing that he has to do. And he returns, and it looks like he's standing on the top of Grayskull. And he says something that I don't know that we had heard it before that. You know what I'm talking about?
Does he say, like, I don't have the, like, he doesn't have the power anymore, like, give the power back or something?
He says, let the power return.
And he throws it back into the pit, right?
Yeah, but what's interesting is, and it was kind of like my favorite part of the whole thing. In that scene, when it shows He-Man and when it shows Adam, the animation for the hair is a lot different. And I guess the face, they're showing some emotion in the face. And He-Man looks up and he's broken. And he holds the sword up and he says, you know, let the power return. And when he does that, the sword shimmers again, like it does when he turns into He-Man and you get all the lightning and, you know, everything.
Yeah.
But then he returns to Adam. Of course, like you said, tosses the sword over.
Yeah.
And it goes into the bottomless pit, which is surrounding Grayskull. So at that point, I just thought it was odd. I don't know. Is that the first time that we've heard that?
Let the power return, probably. I don't remember it otherwise.
I don't either, and I think what was cool is I know they gave a nod to that in 2000X in the MYP series.
Okay.
because there is a section where, or a scene where He-Man is down and the vines have got him and he can't get away, because the more he struggles against the vines, the more they pull him down.
Correct.
And the sorceress kind of appears to him and says, perhaps this is a job more suited for Adam.
Correct.
And he says, let the power return. And he and Cringer, or he and Battle Cat both at that point return. So, okay. Awesome nod from MYP to do that. And obviously, you know, it solved a problem, but, in this situation, I think it was the first time that we ever saw that.
Yeah. It almost seems like we should have seen it previously.
In
a couple of episodes, but no, that probably was the first time that happened.
It almost seems useful. I mean, in a way, if there's a need to do that.
Like, hey, can you go get Prince? We got to go introduce He-Man to Prince Adam. Here's Prince Adam. Guys, where did Adam go? God, he's always up to mischief. Let's go find him. And he goes behind a tree and he goes, let the power return. And then he comes out. Hey, guys, I'm here. I just, someone called my name. Hey, what happened to He-Man?
Where did He-Man go? I have the power and let the power return.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought it was interesting, and I think it's cool that you have the ability to do that. But I also noticed something else that I thought was odd, and it happens right after. Did you pick up on that one too?
I don't remember, man. It's been so long.
Okay, so at that point, He-Man has tossed the sword over, so it's gone. Yes. Later.
No, that's not the first time anything's not been actually lost in the pit, because there's a lot of stuff.
I don't think we've ever actually lost anything in the pit.
Well, the pit has been around for a while. That pit has been there forever. Tila's been down there. Yeah. Adam has been down there. This pit has been explored before.
Oh, yeah. And MYP, you stayed in the pit.
Oh, yes. You know, the pit's always amused me because it's a bottomless pit, but like, how can the pit actually be bottomless? I mean, like, there has to be magic to this, because
right.
A planet is a planet.
Well, you know, you get the star seed and all that good stuff
at the bottom.
So I don't know, maybe it's just raw power going through the bottom. That's always how I imagine Grayskull. And the painting, that poster, I've got it on my wall.
That's a nice poster.
Oh man, I love it. It's been on the right hand side note where it has kind of Grayskull, and then it has the chasm of power going down. So that's how I envision it. But so He-Man throws the sword over there, or Adam does.
Yes.
And of course the pit is not bottomless. Mm-hmm. Big spider web hanging across the bottom of the pit, which I thought was interesting too, because we had he was on the jet sled heading down.
Yeah.
And the jet sled just couldn't do it, right? So it couldn't withstand the winds that apparently whip within this bottomless. I don't know what the winds are like in a bottomless pit, but it must have been rough. So throws him off the battle, or off the jet
sky
sled.
It's a sky sled. Yeah.
Sorry. Sky sled. Jet sled is the toy. we can show a picture of that. Sorry.
Well, isn't this one technically the one that's the battle ram? It's the front of the battle ram. That's why it's called the sky sled.
Yeah. So the sky sled, and so it hits the spider web too. And then we also have the sword there. Adam is reaching for the sword. He needs to call the power He-Man, and when he does that, there is a scene where he's calling on the power, and it's actually in Adam's voice. So it's really odd, and if you catch it, it sounds really off, because it's not what you normally get when you start into, you know, by the power of Grayskull, that big booming, you know, you get Adam calling by the power of Grayskull. So it just stuck out to me. I thought it was odd. I don't know if we've ever had that happen either.
I don't think so. You're catching some stuff I never caught as a kid.
Well, I watched it today, so while I was working.
That always helps.
Yeah, you know, financial papers and He-Man, they go together. But, you know, all in all, killer episode for the people who haven't seen it. Definitely check it out. It was something that brought back a lot of memories for me because I haven't seen it in a long time. So you'll probably feel that same way.
I think I was telling you earlier before we started the episode, but I've got a Mondo poster for it. I don't know if you've looked up the Mondo poster before.
No, I didn't. I was going to look it up.
Yeah, I would tell you to look it up. It's the Mondo, just the Mondo Power, the Problem with Power, and I think you'll get something for it. Let's see.
Let's see, Mondo Problem with Power. Is that the yeah? That's the Skeletor, right?
Let me see if I can find it on my phone. My computer's really slow right now.
So it has the thing that Skeletor was building, right?
Yeah, the portal.
Yeah, and then and that's a dimensional gate that he's going to bring the goblins through.
Correct.
And they're going to invade. So, oh man, that is
it's
a
got color. It's got He-Man right in the front and center, looking up at what is Skeletor's face in the interdimensional portal, and in the background you can see the goblins' army on their dinosaurs or whatever.
Yep.
And it's just a very intricate. Like when you look actually at it. This image is just, especially, you know, that big in front of you, you can see all the details and all the work that they put into it.
So you have that actually as
framed at the house. Yeah.
Oh, that's sweet. Yeah.
And when they first announced it, they talked about doing more episode like prints and a print for each episode. And that would be amazing.
Oh man.
I can't conceivably think of all the episodes I'd have to have framed on the wall before I'd say, oh damn, I got to stop. I mean,
What would you, how would you do that? Would you just pick a highly pivotal moment, or would you try to combine like things from that episode? Because this, it looks like they did a really good job of combining all the elements of what was happening in
Correct.
The episode.
Yeah. I think that their plan was that they were going to do one print per episode, and the print would have everything from that episode, like all the characters, what happens, maybe a scene from it.
Yeah.
And it's funny, I didn't even realize that The Problem with Power was the last episode of the original Filmation series. So it's ironic that they started at the end and they made the poster and they never did another one.
I've been corrected that technically it is not the final episode. There were a couple episodes after it, but everybody who worked on the series considered it to be the final episode.
Oh.
And people since then have said that it's the perfect bookend to the series.
It really is. It's a good episode, and it's got every on the cover. I mean, you can see the general, you can see Skeletor, you can see He-Man, Teela, Orko on the top. There's a lot of detail in this poster. It is an amazing poster.
Well, as far as the poster. I mean, I think they should, like you were saying, I think you should go back and catch every episode. You go backwards and do every episode. That would be sweet.
Yeah.
Posters and. But to what Dirt was saying, this episode feels like the end. And that scene that we were talking about with He-Man walking away, you know, sort of with Teela.
Yeah.
To me, I mean, I felt like that was it. I didn't realize that we had anything beyond it. But that's interesting. What other episodes do we have beyond that?
I'm trying to look it up now, but.
Yeah.
But I love the Cosmic Comet, maybe?
Cosmic Comet. That was with
I'm looking.
Let's see. What episode number is this? 28?
I'd have to get the book out.
The problem is part of the it's in that if you look up the episodes, the production order doesn't match the order in which they aired.
Yeah.
So it may have been that even they wanted it to be the final episode, but just with production messing things up and then finally getting them to air, they got it close, but not, they couldn't get it all the way. But there's like, it's considered episode 110 out of 130. So there's 20 episodes that were technically produced after it, but it aired, I think, with only 5 episodes after it or 4 episodes after it. So, So it aired almost at the end. There were just a couple right after it, but in production it was stuck somewhere, you know, farther down. So they fought apparently to get it on the air closer to the end.
And it's not like MYP where we have a continuity that, you know, the episodes need to air in order for it to make sense.
Correct.
And New Adventures had a continuity to it as well. I can't ever find them in the right order. I don't know why. And it's just my YouTube, I guess, you know, because it is specific to me. But I can't ever find that. But I think there's a continuity there also. And I don't know. What else do we have that continues on like that? Of course, the He-Man comic run had a good continuity to it. Did the newspaper strips, was there a continuity to it?
There was a continuity because it continued after the Filmation series ended. But I don't know, there was some continuity to it for a while, but I mean that's because week to week you'd continue the story you're already reading too,
right? So, you know, as they're doing the weekly spots, obviously it's going to take quite a few weeks to you're still telling the same story.
Correct.
Yeah, but those are sweet as well. I mean, I love that newspaper strips book. I'm still not all the way through it.
Me neither.
So Tataran, I was looking him up. Let's see what other kind of interesting things we had about him. That's a character that I kind of like the way that he was done. Once I found out that he has no heart, I like the fact that his eyes are white. But there are others that they showed that did have pupils in their eyes. So I don't know if that was just, you know, something in his design, but I would have liked to have seen a character, a classics figure of that guy.
Here's something to keep in mind, that the author, the writer of the episode, Tom
Tannerwitz,
Mr. T, yeah. He said that he originally wanted He-Man to actually kill an innocent bystander by accident. But Filmation wouldn't allow it, so they came up with the character with no heart.
Yeah, he just has a protective bubble around him to keep him from being crushed. That Skeletor gives him that belt. But did you see the little blurb about it, the trivia piece in the book also about
Tom? It says that he was named after Tom, actually.
Yeah, so that's kind of cool. Tom... Tataranowitz. Yeah. You know, rolls off the tongue. No disrespect to him, but he did get a General Tataran. So like to get that as a figure. Somebody. Yeah. It looked pretty cool. I mean, there's plenty of others I would put before him, but, you know, I liked his presence. He was in there.
Maybe Joe can do a custom of it.
Yeah, I would be surprised if he hasn't already or made a little subjects out of it. That's the thing. It's crazy. So, Dirk, you know, if you need a disco, all you got to do is, you know, throw a motto.
Joe is actually working on a, a disco Skeletor using the Classics Intergalactic Skeletor.
Oh, nice.
Oh, so it's going to be a Classics Disco?
It's going to be a Classics Intergalactic Disco Skeletor.
Oh. That's sweet. I like that.
Sounds wicked.
Yeah, I get into some of those customs, man. Joe has passed some pretty nice stuff over, you know, through the Waffle groups too. So he got on that little subjects run there, and some of those have been interesting.
Yeah.
He did a Fisto. Did you see the Fisto he did?
I did see the Fisto. Man, Brad has it.
I thought that was really cool.
Brad.
Let's see what else we got. What else you want to talk about, Andrew? We've talked about the episode.
I don't even know, to tell you the truth. You know, actually, I have a good thing to ask you, and this is a topic that we can talk today and many, many times after.
Okay.
How do you balance your collection at your house?
What do you mean?
Like, in your space, because obviously you can't make your house into Castle Grayskull or Snake Mountain. How do you balance your collection? Like, how much space does your collection take in your house? How much space does your wife allow you to have? Or how much do you allow yourself to have?
Well, I won't say how much do I allow myself to have, because the entire house would be covered with He-Man. But
I know, right?
So that sort of became a problem, you know, a while back, and it was encroaching into other areas. So I agreed to everything is now in here. So this is the waffle room, and it's my office, and yeah. I have a separate office, and then her office is over there. So no He-Man stuff goes outside of here normally.
Yes.
But there's always like little pieces drifting in and out. Yeah. I've got a disco, or it's not a disco skill sword, but it's one of those bobblehead. It's like the
Dorms.
The metallic, the Hatari, I think, metallic.
Oh, yeah, those things. Yeah, the Hatari ones.
Yeah, I put one of those on her desk like a month ago, and I still don't think she knows it's there. But, yeah, so everything, it's weird the way I have it, I guess, because what ends up happening, and this is just the God's honest truth, I'll go ahead and tell myself. I get in here and I get drunk and I give away my stuff. So, when I really get on a roll and so this room is ever changing, because there's constantly stuff coming in and going out and coming in and going out. But, for the most part, my entire workspace, my entire desk is covered with figures. There are figures on the walls. The waffle stuff is normally always over there, just whatever's we're going to waffle. Graylin has a little collection over here, and then I've got some other waffle stuff. But walls are covered in posters.
Nice.
I have Molar and Skeletor up on top of a light. But she's okay with, you know, she has no issue with this room whatsoever as long as it stays in this room.
Yeah. that makes sense.
She's finally starting to support this habit. Like it wasn't working all that great. Like a couple years ago, I got it when I first got into classics, and I was filling the house up, and it was just like every bill had Eternia on it, or had, you know, something. I was paying somebody for He-Man, and so she got a little upset with that. Didn't enjoy He-Man all that much, and then, as I started doing waffles and she started watching that and hearing me talk about the figures and stuff, she started getting interested. So every now and again, I will catch her in here with the baby and she's reading the back of a box or something. So it's working slowly but surely.
That's the way to do it, man. That's the way to do it. Because I think that a lot of us collectors all have that same problem, to where either if we let our collection get out of hand, it goes everywhere, or we have to fight for our own space. Mm-hmm. I've got a good friend. His wife does not allow him to have toys out. And so he's got like this closet full of toys right now, like a Deadpool statue, some Ghost Rider toys. And it's always a constant battle. Like, his wife doesn't want him to spend money on it, so he'll have to have like cash on hand for toys if he wants them, because he can't put them on a credit card.
I understand entirely. I've had separate, you know, He-Man accounts and stuff. You got to do it, but it's, I don't know. I have the same problem where it does get out of hand, and it seems to happen often, where I'll just start bringing in a couple of pieces and then I'll really start digging those, and then I'll overload it, and then I'll just have way too much I need to get rid of. So
I have that same problem right now, and I've had it many times in the past where you go, ooh, yeah. And it's a rock slide, because you buy one and then it becomes 2 and 5 and 16, and then you have a room that you're like, this wasn't a He-Man room originally.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how it is. I mean, that's how this room came about. And I have a core little group that I keep that, you know, I really care about, and those, you know, have different for different reasons, have different ones, but I keep that core group, and other than that, I think everything's pretty much expendable, but I still like it so much it's up on the wall, or it's, you know.
Makes sense.
I'm more, like we've talked about before, it's artwork, man. So, like, the posters and the books and the minis, that stuff, I care more about that than I do the figures sometimes, so.
Nice. Have you thought about a flat file ever? I mean, you probably have a lot of posters. Have you thought about getting like a flat file in any form or fashion?
No, I don't know what that is.
A flat file is like a filing cabinet for art or for posters. A normal flat file It's usually pretty wide. They can be coffee tables. They can be desks. They can actually be just, you know, something you put against the wall, or you lay against the wall sideways and you put your art into it. And that way, since, you know, it's paper, since a lot of times it's paper and it's flat, you can save it, preserve it, and keep it. And then you can swap things out. Like, say you like, you know, you have a couple of different magazine posters and you only can have two of them framed. You switch them out by taking them out of your flat file and put them in the, on the wall, or, you know, whatever you want to do. I mean, that's...
No, I like that. That's pretty sweet.
Flat file is an interesting idea. I ran into it last year because I've got so many posters and, you know, you can't have... You can't cover every single wall, I mean, with a poster because... I mean, you can, but it's hard.
You can, but she definitely... there's always a she involved. But,
There usually is.
I'm cool. I mean, I really appreciate the fact that my wife embraces. So, you know, that was part of my Father's Day present was this book, and she got me a He-Man mouse pad, which is cool. And it was really awesome this past week to see in the groups everybody posting about their dad and their memories. And so a lot of it being MOTU related and talking about their childhood and that kind of thing. So that it's been an awesome weekend this past weekend. Did you do the same thing? Celebrate with your father?
Yeah. I celebrated with my father yesterday and I got myself a new device a couple days ago. And I think I have to post it in the Lucky Legends group, but did you see the 360 photo that I got?
Yeah, I did see that. I thought that was really awesome.
I need to post that in the Lucky Legends. I think I'll try to do that here in a second. I basically got a little camera that lets me take 360 shots where I can take a photo of everything in the room and you can
see it
in one photo.
Now, I think you can – I think there's a way to do it with an iPhone.
There's a way to do it with any phone that you have that has a camera on it, but it's an app and it's not very seamless. It can be bad.
I've seen it be like really like goofy. You know, you got half a leg or half a foot sticking out somewhere or something. You know, we don't need that. But yeah, that's pretty sweet. I saw that picture. And so the first run of it you threw out there, I was like, okay, so am I, and I was laying in the bed and I was like, am I upside down or wait? Okay.
The first one I used with my old phone and my old phone was causing it problems. But the new one, I got a new phone over the weekend too. I got this device and a new phone, and my new phone had no problem posting it. So,
you're an Android fan.
Oh yeah, I definitely have. I just got an i7 actually. So not the i7, the S7. God.
No, your heart S7. Spoke what it. Your heart spoke what it really meant.
No. I can't stand Apple. I'm not gonna lie. Apple and me don't agree.
Apple is Skeletor, and you know, He-Man's fighting the good Google fight, I guess. But I don't know, man. Apple, I never used to use it, but then it just became like a seamless part of my life, and my Apple TVs and all that stuff work. I'm used to it now. I got integrated into the freaking cloud.
That's a problem, man. I think they have self-help groups.
There's worse things, I guess. I'm a He-Man addict.
Do you have the newest MacBook that they released? Or the new MacBook Pro that they released?
That's what we're on right now. It's the wife's. She's all about that. I don't know how to use it. I use Windows. So.
Yeah. I'm a Windows or a Linux guy myself. I had an ex that had a MacBook Pro. And the last one that was good was like, God, 2011 or 2012, 2013. Because the recent ones don't have a lot of what they basically scaled them back. Like it's still just as expensive, but
this is a MacBook Air and she probably got this, I think probably around that time frame. It's probably like 2013 or 14, but I mean, seems to be a really solid machine, but I just personally, I've never, you know, this is like Thundercats and He-Man to me. It's, you know, two totally different properties that, you know, one I will speak on and one I will not. But that's pretty much that's it for me. I try to hang with what I know, you know. And Windows is comfortable for me.
Fair enough.
I used to I don't know if you've the folks that have ever sent me stuff for the waffles have seen that my PayPal address always says Johnson & Son Computer Repair, and that's what I used to do. I used to repair computers on the side and around a little side business, and I did not touch Max. So,
well, there's not much you can do to it outside of, you know, running.
No, bro, it either works or it doesn't.
Yeah, there's few things you can actually swap out. I think you can give it a new hard drive in the older versions, and you can give it more RAM, but everything else is proprietary. So. Yeah. If you don't like it, it's too bad.
Yeah, and crack it open and void your warranty. So there you go. Good on that. I like, you know, I like taking stuff out of the box too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So what else we got, man? It's been I think we're through it. It's been a when we start talking MacBooks and Windows, something to throw out there to tease folks and just, oh, come on, man, get this book. Look at Faker.
This book is amazing.
Oh, this book's killer. Yeah, get the book. But closing remarks, man, you got anything you want to say?
I got nothing. sorry.
I'm going to say waffles are not dead. Viva la waffles. And, you know, we just sometimes you got to be a little more creative, and we've been working on that. But come visit the good folks over at Lucky Legends. I swear we're not evil people. Check out the Masters of the Galaxy page. We got that on Facebook. Brian's been working on that, and hopefully we'll have Brian back for next week. I don't know. We don't know normally until time for the show. So yep. we just show up, and when Ozone's here, party's on. So
yep.
I appreciate everybody listening, and thanks for jumping in. Thank you, Andrew, for the conversation as always. Dirt. Thank you in the booth, my brother, and you guys have a good evening.